So, hello.
Hello.
You're looking very white.
It's possibly a result of Nard inhalation. So I did this thing this morning where it's a talk I do based on the anointing in Bethany.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, it's Wednesday of Holy Week, and according to Mark's timetable and the book I wrote, The Longest Week, you know, this was the night where Jesus was anointed with a bottle of nard.
Nard Day, as we should call it.
Nard Day, yeah, okay. Indeed. So you can get nard. It's called spike nard now, and yeah. It's amazing. It's the essential oil of a plant grown in the foothills of the Himalayas. Lots to talk about with that, but we won't talk about it. But it's quite potent. And what I like to do for the talk is I like to dab it on tissues and then hand it around so people can, you know, have the same smell that Jesus would have smelled when in that room.
Smell like Jesus, essence of Jesus.
You could smell like Jesus did on that day anyway, you know.
Okay.
Trouble is, I think I overdid it, and I've been smelling a nard all day, and it's not a pleasant thing. It's a bit like Olbus oil, really. It's not like a nice fragrance.
Yeah.
So I think I've overdosed on biblical smells.
Yeah. Well, it's lovely to have you freshly anointed.
I am, yes. Very anointed. Welcome, everybody, to episode 235.
You can smell it from here.
You see, now I was nearly doing that well.
Yeah, you
and
were.
And then you've interrupted.
Sorry. Okay.
So yeah. You have only yourself to blame.
Yeah, I have.
Episode 235 of the Mid-Faith Crisis podcast. My name is Nard Page. and there's Joe Davis back.
Yes.
Back in Blighty.
Yes, indeed. Where the weather's lovely. I don't know what people have been moaning about. It's lovely here, honestly.
Actually, you did bring a bit of the sun back, didn't you? It was nice a couple of days ago. Nice yesterday.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so are you jet-lagged?
A little bit. Little bit. Getting there. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, slightly wide awake at, you know, 2-3 in the morning. Mm. That's the way it goes. Anyway, look, enough of that. How are you?
Yes, I'm all right, actually. I am... You know, we're still... I'm recording this in a cupboard, basically.
Yes, you do look a little bit like Harry Potter there. In a very confined space. Are you under the stairs?
No, not quite under the stairs, but in a sort of large cupboard, because it's full of clothes. I thought acoustically it might work really well. You know, because it deadens the sound. And I care about these sort of things.
Me too.
Yes. As the last podcast shows, you don't care
No.
about these sort of things. So, yes, still unpacking and, you know, still very lots of tasks and jobs. And thankfulness is irritatingly hard, isn't it, really?
It can be.
Because so much to be thankful about. I feel so bad talking about like houses and the problems with houses when some people don't have a house,
exactly.
Or are worried about how they're going to pay for their house. And I do, you know, appreciate so many in that situation. But nevertheless, I still find myself getting very irritated by things. Thankfulness is hard. I'm discovering patience is even harder.
Yeah.
And I'm going to write a book on the spiritual discipline of plumbing.
Are you?
Because... Plumbing, what happens is you put the pipes in,
yeah,
right, you do everything up, you turn it all on and it leaks. And you take it all apart again and you sort it out and you spot where that was, you put it all together again, put all the waste back together again and it leaks.
Yeah.
And this goes on and it's always a different leak. So I think there's something to do with plumbing and patience that I need to understand, really.
So write a book on it.
Yeah, why not? Why not? But apart from that, I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right. I think I might be turning into you. This is worrying.
Oh, good.
Because I'm waking up, you know, like at 5:30 and feeling like I want to get up.
Yeah, get up and go for a walk. Best part of the day. You'll love it.
It's completely doing my head in because by about 3 o'clock, I am dead. Absolutely dead. So what this podcast is going to be like, I have no idea. Anyway, so that's me. I'm pretty okay. Other than that, yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad you're settling in. I'm sorry there's problems, but yeah.
Well, there is always is, isn't it? Anyway, how about you? How are you doing?
Okay. It's a bit cold here, isn't it? But other than that, no, I'm okay. I mean, it was lovely to be away. It was lovely to spend time with my brother. So the first week was great. I was in the pool with my brother and we were spending time together, and that was particularly good. And then he got very ill, kidney stones, as you know, and so he was he ended up in intensive care for about 8 days. And he's still in hospital. He's not well. I mean, because all of that episode has compounded other neuropathological issues. If that's the right word, probably isn't.
Well, issues was right.
He's got a lot of issues. So, yeah, he's not too good. And in all honesty, I'm quite concerned for him. We thought we were going to lose him. That's how bad it was at one point. When things were not looking good, it looked like his whole body was shutting down. But gradually it's crept back, which I'm happy to say. So, yeah. So, yeah, he could be out of hospital soon. But then there's a whole question of how on earth he could cope at home. Which over there, because there aren't nurses who come in free, you have to pay people to come in and look after him. So there's a number of issues to work through there. Yeah, God bless the NHS. That's what I get. But I tell you what, spending time with Brian really has done for me. It's reminded me of the importance of appreciating everybody every day, really. Yeah, very much so. And I've been thinking about that very much while I've been away. So God bless you. Even you, Nick Page. God bless you. So good to have you in my life.
And likewise. You know, I appreciate you. Wasn't that a song?
I don't know.
I appreciate you. We appreciate you. Anyway.
Are you going back to the mid-80s again?
I think I probably am, okay. Yeah.
And may I say, Happy New Year! But slightly belated.
Oh, no!
Happy New Year. I did put a post up on our Facebook group for the actual day. You'll be glad to know. Not that you would know, obviously.
No.
There were greetings.
Well, this is great. So we ought to explain this because a while back, when we were sort of talking about our themes, you put forward the idea that actually January the 1st, not a great
time. It's disastrous.
Theme because you've only just got over Christmas and you haven't had time to sort of settle into things or see how the year's going.
No. And also it's freezing cold. And also, so that's the worst time to try and go on a diet because you need to be carry a little bit extra for the winter months, don't you? So it's terrible for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah, we need to carry a little bit of extra, yeah.
Well, in my case, you can never be too sure.
I think you're planning for the ice age there. But anyway, never mind the winter.
I am ready for 3 long years of no food.
Like a camel, you'll live off your hump.
I will.
Anyway, we then look back, and historically, New Year, certainly in Britain and many parts of Europe, started on March 25th.
Yes.
That was New Year. So we decided this would be a great tradition. And we were going to have like a New Year's event and celebration. And then somebody ruined it by going to Mexico.
Sorry about that.
So we couldn't really do that. No, it's all right. But anyway, so we're going to talk about our New Year today. Happy New Year to you.
Now, Happy New Year. And what a great New Year it is. The sun's shining. The bad weather has gone. It's spring.
The daffodils are out.
There's newness all around. This completely makes sense on so many levels. It's great.
Yeah. So we're going to merch this. We're going to maximise this in years to come, aren't we? We're just going to go on and on about it.
Sure we will. Also, let's not forget that we should start celebrating Christmas on the 25th of June as well. I'm just putting that in as we rearrange the year, because Christmas is far too busy to celebrate Christmas.
Okay.
So June the 25th, we can really think about the incarnation and how good that is. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Great.
Well, historically, so the 25th of March was the conception, Feast of the Conception.
Was it?
Because that was when Jesus was conceived, 9 months before.
Oh, that makes sense.
Before Christmas.
Well, yeah. He could have been very premature in June.
He could, yes. The Bible doesn't really say anything about him arriving very early. But anyway, so it's New Year, and therefore you have had 3 months to think about your theme now.
I have. Thank you.
My theme was wisdomness, and I'll report back on that some other time, but when I finish doing the plumbing, because it's not going well. But your theme is what? I want to know what your theme is.
I have got a theme, thank you. And, you know, wisdomness is a good theme, although I sort of feel like that should be a theme for the rest of our lives, not just 1 year. So that's...
Yes, it's a fair point, really.
That's the thing. So it's difficult, isn't it, to be... Not too general, not too, it's better to be more specific, I guess. Anyway, mine, having said that, mine isn't particularly, but I'll tell you what it is. So my theme for this year is to show up every day.
Right. Show up every day.
And what that means, more helpfully, is I want to be present to every single day of this year. You know, I don't want it to fly by with me just fretting and thinking about other things and missing like everything that is actually going on and feeling everything that is going on, whether those are feelings of grief and loss or whether those are feelings of wonder at just the amazing stuff that is around us all the time, but we so often take for granted. So I've realised, particularly, I mean, those of you, we talked about the Enneagram before, those of you who are Enneagram 7s, you would also probably have struggled with this one because we're always in our heads, we're always thinking about things, we're always thinking how things can be better, and we all, you know, we're never sort of just necessarily right here appreciating what is in this moment. So that's what I want to do. I want to make sure that at least once every day I've taken the chance to go, Joe, are you here? So that's the question. Mm. That's the question I have to ask myself. Are you actually here now? Am I present now? Showing up every day.
That's great. That's really interesting.
Thank you.
And have you started with doing
that?
No,
I was very actively doing that while I was away.
And what effect did it have?
Well, I think it's very easy when you're in holiday mode, because you don't have all the distractions. And I wasn't fretting about work. And I sort of come back. And now it's like, you know, 3 weeks with no work. And then, well, another week with no work. Because it takes a while to come in. So, you know, my normal thing is, oh, my goodness, I've got no money. What am I going to do? Help, help. Well, I'm not doing that now. I'm trying to trust a bit more anyway in that stuff. But also, worry destroys showing up every day. Because when you're worrying, you can't be present.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true.
And I can be a bit of a worrier. Yeah. So I'm just going, do you know what? There's grace for today, and there's beauty.
Mm. And do you think there's a time? Is there like a specific time when you're going to ask yourself this question each day, or you're going to sort of almost surprise yourself? Like a lot of my younger colleagues do. I can't remember what it's called. There's this app. Is it called Be Real? Be Real, I think it's called. Where you'll get this alert and you have to take a photo of yourself within a certain number of seconds. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And the idea is you can't sort of stage it, you know.
Yeah. It takes a photo front and back. So it shows you and the scene in front of you. Yeah.
So it's sort of like this random alert that happens through the day. So I suppose what you want is an app that goes, be present or show up.
Yes, exactly.
And it kind of has a random time when
that
you
would
do
be
it.
Really good.
Or are you going to do like you know, early in the morning? Because I know that you do show up early in the morning.
Well, I certainly will early in the morning and have been.
It's very irritating when I stay with you and you show up early in the morning. I have to say that.
Yes, but, you know, song is a wonderful gift. And if you've got it, you should exercise it.
Yeah, I think you could be a bit less present in those moments. Although the way things are going, I'll be joining you. But, you know, I think that... So do you have, like... Is it a routine thing or are you more likely to try and remember it in certain moments? Or what? How are you going
to
do it?
I'd like to do what you say. At the moment, obviously it is in the morning. But no, I've been noticing. So, for example, what arrested me today was seeing these pair of great tits checking out the nest box in the garden. And I'm just, you know, suddenly I was like, shook me out of my head and what I was thinking about for a moment. And it's nature always does that to me, actually, which is why I bang on about being out in nature so much, because I think nothing helps me to be in this present moment like nature does. But I'm sure you don't have to be in nature. I'm sure you can be doing it. It can be enjoying a meal with friends, so long as you are actually enjoying the meal and not taking the whole lot for granted, which is why, you know, sometimes TV dinners and everything, you know, so it's, they're fine every now and then. But actually, they're not such good things, because you then just end up eating unconsciously, don't you? You're not really tasting everything and feeling the textures of everything and appreciating the people you're with. So, you know, stuff like that. I like the idea of a random alert. I wonder if I can get that. I wonder if anyone knows.
There must be an app that does
a random alert. That's quite a good thing. Is you wouldn't want it going off in a funeral, would you? But
no, that could be. I'm sorry. I've just got to be present.
Hey everyone,
I've shown up.
It's great.
Mate, well, that leads me on to something else, which is, well, what you talked, you mentioned them briefly, but what about the times of sort of, I don't want to call them negative emotions, because I'm not sure they always are negative, but, you know, the painful
times. The difficult stuff, yeah.
Presumably you had moments on holiday like that, and so...
Yes,
I did. Are you going to say to yourself, I need to show up to this moment, because actually it's really significant?
Yes. Yeah, it's exactly right. It's something I find extremely hard to do, because my default position whenever anything is difficult is let's distract from how painful this is, and that looks like eating or, you know, going out or just anything, having a drink, doing, you know, something that will shake you out of what feels like something is going to be painful. But I've learned that it's much better to feel the pain of that moment, to really face it, not to ignore it, and it's much healthier for all sorts of reasons. And, you know, we've talked a lot about mental health and good mental health on the podcast before, but, you know, I certainly think that pushing negative and difficult feelings down is not a recipe for good mental health, but actually facing them and realising they're not as dreadful as perhaps you thought they were going to be. Yeah. All that stuff.
Yeah, no, I think that's really important. And I think if you're not present to those kind of moments, you can't really sort of learn from them, really, or you there's stuff that you can hear from God through those moments that maybe you won't hear if your mind is always on the moment when you'll get out of that. I suppose it's easier said than done, because nobody wants to I don't want to live in those moments, really.
No,
I don't want to dwell any longer than I have to.
No, I don't either, but at the same time, you know, it's good for me to know what's going on and to actually say, do you know what, right now I'm really concerned for my bro, and I miss him, and I wish I was with him. And it's better to just articulate and to realise that's what's going on, other than, why am I stuffing more chocolate when I don't really want chocolate? You know, it's better to be consciously present to what's happening.
Well, that's great. I look forward to hearing how that goes as we move towards Christmas in June, and, you know, hearing about how that works out. That'd be great.
Christmas in June. Excellent.
The mid-faith crisis year is going to get very complicated. You know,
suddenly my birthday is much closer to New Year, of course.
that's true and mine as well, actually, thinking about it. Yeah, we're both fairly close. Anyway, great. Talking of chocolate, we should talk about the significance of this week, because we're recording this obviously in Holy Week.
We are.
And we were putting together a sort of running order of the show, and then suddenly realised maybe we should talk about Easter, you know, as it was. We got like 10 other topics, but we thought, that one had escaped us.
This is frightfully true, I'm afraid.
So, you know, yeah, it's Holy Week, and we're heading towards Easter Day. And so I think it's good to just talk about that a bit. What's your view of Easter these days? How do you engage with it? I mean, maybe this year might be a bit different because you've just come back, but, you know, normally, how do you engage with it?
I engage with it by listening to or receiving Brian Draper's Lent course, which is always excellent. He's been talking about the trail this year, the trail to Easter, and friends for the trail. And it's been a very helpful set of meditations around Easter. So that's something I actively do. Otherwise, I always fear I wouldn't really engage with Lent much at all. Mm. And the other thing, as I said before, is that, you know, the older you get, I think the more important these Easter is for me. I think it's the more you face up to death, whether you want to or not, whether it's your own or whether it's other people's, the more important it is to not just have as a belief, but to really start to understand death is not the end.
Mm.
Death is not the end. I think this is something for me much stronger than a belief. Do you know what I mean? I'm absolutely certain of that. I'm as certain of that as you are sitting there. Death is not the end. I'm not certain about the shape of heaven and, you know, the afterlife and the exact, you know, dimensions therein. But I'm absolutely certain that, and I think there are good reasons to have that kind of hope. I really do. That don't just involve blind faith in the resurrections, you know, and all that sort of thing. I think there are other good reasons to have real, real hope. And I think, you know, that the resurrection for me is the icing on the cake of all of Jesus' teaching.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. I think as I've got older, it may be some of the other days have become quite important within Easter. A whole of the week seems to have this shape to it of, of celebration and life. You know, you get all the life and the joy of Palm Sunday and the meal being shared. And then you go into the darkness.
Yeah.
And the being handed over and the becoming passive. And Jesus moves from being a very active figure to being someone who's acted upon, as it says in the Vanster book, which we will talk about at some point.
Yeah, we will.
And then you get into this absence, this absolute absence on the Saturday.
Yes.
And then new life. And it seems to me that there's something about the deep story of existence woven into the week as well.
I think that is so important because I grew up in a tradition that really, really was so focused on Easter Sunday. I mean, yes, we had Good Friday services and we understood it was a terrible thing that God punished his son, Jesus, for our sins. And we understood that. But really, the whole of the Christian sort of setup, if I can put it that way, in church, was about resurrection. So we are Easter people. We're not Good Friday people and we're not dark Saturday people. We're Easter people. And that's great because it's positive and it's good to frame things positively. But what it does is it denies so much of existence. But I love that you say this story is about human existence. And I really have come to see that so right. And I love that you mentioned the meal as well and the being handed over. Because that sort of mirrors our lives as well. Mm. It really does mirror our existence. So there is a way of reading all of this in that way, I think, that brings such a lot of, for me, has brought me such energy and meaning to the Easter narrative. It's not just that it's a historical event, but it is a story about our lives too, not just the life of Jesus. It's a story about humanity. And I think that's absolutely excellent because now I don't need to feel guilty about my Easter Saturday experiences now. Now, there's times where you're absolutely in the darkness, absolutely in the pit. You know, God seems to not even exist. And it's dark and the outlook is bad and it feels like death. Now I can own that bit. And yes, there's Sunday coming, but you don't get to Sunday without going through some of that stuff. And I don't need to feel guilty about it. I don't suppose Jesus felt particularly guilty about it, so why should I? Yeah, I think that's really important.
Interesting you say that, because I always felt in the church where I grew up, or the tradition, I suppose, where I grew up, was that actually we got it wrong the other way. We stopped at Good Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't really get on. You know, Easter was okay, but actually,
yes.
you got as far as the cross and then paused. And the bus to Easter took a long time to come, it to arrive, you know.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
So I think both elements are within Christianity, I think both tendencies are there. The tendency to view the dark times as something which you should have victory over, because Jesus had victory over them, and so let's move on quickly. And or the tendency to sort of stay in the sinfulness, stay at the cross, and never get out of the tomb. And of course, what we're reaching towards here is the idea that it's about the whole week. It's about the whole journey across that. It's about all those things.
Mm.
And I think that is really important, because you want to validate all human existence. One of the things that I think I appreciate more and more about Easter, about the passion stories, is the physicality of it, actually.
Mm.
And I know you and I have talked in the past about the historicity, and you know where I stand on that. I've written books on it.
Yeah, I do.
But actually, I think beyond that, when you read the accounts, it's a very real and physical an embodied thing. I've said I've been doing some stuff on The Longest Week this week, you know, which I haven't done. I haven't preached on that kind of stuff for years, really. And I've just done a couple of talks, and it was quite interesting rediscovering it. But it is this sort of physical thing about it. There are bodies involved. There are people with diseases. There are branches being waved. There are animals' smells. There are lots of crowds. There's bread and there's wine and there's roast lamb and there's all this stuff and
nard.
There's blood. And there's a lot of nard. Some would say too much nard. So which you could have too much of it. I'm sure they did in the gospel story. Yeah, but the smells and tastes and.
Yeah.
And I think that all that is part of the passion story, and all that is part of existence, and all that is embodied in the Easter tale. And that's why I love the idea of the resurrected body, because I think that it continues the physicality of the Easter story.
Mm.
So for me, it's a time when I really do, a bit like you're saying about turn up, trying to be present to the senses. You know, to the smells and the touches and the tastes and all that kind of thing of it as well, really.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. And that's why maybe it is good to have that, like the Maundy Thursday meal. I know we often have sort of mock Passovers and everything, but perhaps that's another good reason to do it. And that's why communion's actually perhaps still important, because it is just that physicality, isn't it, to the ritual.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you are what you eat, as we say. As I got older, I think there is something different about what happens in communion, and I think there is something special about the way the senses are transformed at that point. I don't know, you know, I don't hold to all the different theories necessarily, but I think one of the dangers is in our tradition is that we too often decry the senses or push them away or think that they're not really the real thing. You know, the real thing is the doctrine or the thought or the, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The flip side of that, I think, is in some other traditions, what they do is they kind of heighten the senses too much. And so instead of, you know, ordinary smells of like fresh baked bread or coffee or red wine or something, there's nard or frankincense or, you know, and I appreciate incense and I appreciate bells and all that kind of, okay, there's a place for them. But actually, I quite like birdsong as well. And as I said, croissants and, you know, those things. I don't think Jesus had a special kind of bread at the Last Supper.
Gluten free.
I certainly don't think he had the kind of wine we have at communion. Yeah.
No, disgraceful. Do you know what, though? We've got around the whole transubstantiation debate, really.
Have we?
Well, I think so, because once you believe that Christ is in all things, then he's definitely in that bread and wine. So in a manner of speaking, it's a kind of non-question now. Is Jesus in the bread and wine? Yeah, of course Jesus is in the bread and wine. So go ahead and enjoy it.
Well, I think that's right. I remember years ago at Spring Harvest, I think it was in France. Yeah, it was in France. And I was leading communion there. And they said, what do you want for the communion? And I said, you know what I'd really like? I'd like a really great loaf of French bread and a really good red wine.
Oh.
Because I said, we never get that in churches. We get bits of cardboard and some terrible sort of not quite wine, really. So the chef at this site picked out this bottle of wine, and they bought me this wonderful loaf. And we had this great communion. And then I realised at the end of it, there's quite a lot of the wine left.
Oh, you've got to drink that.
Well, I'm not, as you know, I'm not technically an ordained minister in any denomination, least of all the Anglican Church. But I thought I might as well obey the Anglican rules.
Exactly, on that occasion.
I got the rest of it. Fantastic.
Well, that's a lovely end to that anecdote.
It all worked out well for me. And, you know, it was a very memorable sensory experience.
It's great. But let's just... that reminds me of something my sister-in-law said to me. And this is in Mexico. Brian's wife. She's, she's an extraordinary lady and profoundly spiritual. And she said... she said to me, she looked me in the eyes, she said, sometimes when bad things happen, they disguise something good that will happen. And it's an amazing thing to say at any time, but particularly when she was going through what she was going through, which was facing the loss of her husband at that moment. Sometimes when bad things happen, they disguise something good that will happen. And I think for me, you know, this is why Easter really matters. And I don't want to lose sight of it in the busyness that can happen around our Christian festivals, that actually there is life and there is death, but there's another bit, there's life again. And I think it's cyclical in our lives, and I think it's really great every year that we really focus on this cycle of death and resurrection, and resurrection and death and resurrection again. And, you know, this life, death, life. Can I just share this quote with you?
Go on.
Is that? Yeah. Yeah, well, this is from Clarissa Pinkola Estes. Good name. And and she said this. She said, we have been taught in the West that death is always followed by more death. It is simply not so. Death is always in the process of incubating new life. The life-death-life forces are part of our own nature, an inner authority that knows the steps, knows the dance of life and death. It is composed of the parts of ourselves who know when something can, should and must be born and when it must die. It is a deep teacher if we can only learn its tempo. I mean, there's a lot in that, but I love this idea that we instinctively know there's a life-death-life cycle going on, and what we need to do, maybe this Easter, you know, perhaps for me that's the whole meditation of Easter, of what do I know must die and what must be born, you know, in my life at this time. And I think that's quite a helpful way of framing Easter, maybe.
I think it's really good, and it's what we were talking about, the tempo of the week,
yeah,
and the tempo of creation and the tempo of our lives is all one thing. It's life, death, life. You know,
yeah,
great. Listen, I think we should wrap up. You need to sort of, I don't know what you need to do.
I don't know what I need to do, to be honest.
To get out of your jet lag, that's what you need to do.
Yeah,
and I need to get out of this cupboard.
You do. Well, that does look very snug.
Well, it's a very nice little cupboard. I think it might work very well.
If we may address the lovely listeners directly, we want to definitely wish you all a very happy Easter this year. And, you know, as you engage with the life, death, life cycle that is at work in our humanity, and, you know, may you know the power of some resurrection hope, whatever you're facing at this time, for sure.
Yes, thank you so much for listening, as ever. Thank you for your patience over the last couple of weeks.
Yes, indeed.
It has been sporadic, and when it did appear, it was
shocking.
But, you know, but there you go. But anyway, we really appreciate your friendship and your support.
Yeah.
And yeah, have an absolutely blessed Easter, and we will be back with you next week.
See you then. Cheers.